Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation Concert God on. There's a lot of buzz yesterday in the state with a big concert announcement. In my mind, big.
Huge.
Big, big, big.
Bigly.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning.
Morning.
It was big. And it was actually the anniversary of a great show at Toad's that happened how many years ago? Let's see. 32 years ago.
Huh.
Man, you are good at math.
Seriously.
Yes.
My shoes are off right now.
Not much else, but math I am good at.
Math. As he knows it to the penny, like a show when he's back in the day when you'd cash out at the end of the show. But yeah. In 39 cents.
He's the original calculator.
Yeah.
Who stole a penny from me?
Right.
Right.
So what was the anniversary?
Bob Dylan at Toad's Place.
Oh, wow.
January 12th, 1990.
Wow.
Wow.
One of his probably top five classic shows of all time.
I was there. Toad's. I have to say, I left early. It was too much for me.
So did I. And it was my show.
Even Bob left. Bob left, too.
6-hour show.
Yeah, I looked at Brian, I looked at Mike, and I said, hey, guys, you know what? It's past midnight. I'm leaving. I'm tired.
I beat the crowd.
So I missed the Stones at Toad's. And, Bob Dylan was months after, not long after, within a year after, and everybody, yeah. I thought, I'm not a Bob Dylan fan, but I'm like, I want to see a legendary, I want to be part of that.
Yeah. Part
magic, magic dust. So I get there, and it's like, well, I'm not really into Bob Dylan, am I?
I'm waiting for his 3 songs I like.
Like 20 minutes in, I'm like, yeah, okay, this is nice. And then an hour, then two, and then three. I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I can do
pizza.
This.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like leaving during a wedding ceremony. It's like, how do I sneak out this side door here?
Very simple. You go out for smoke, don't come back.
Yeah.
Well, the only time he ever sang a Bruce Springsteen song.
Oh, damn.
He did dance. He did, started taking requests. Somebody requested Dancing in the Dark.
Really?
Dancing in the Dark.
He didn't do the dance in the video, did he?
Are you kidding?
Nope. And the ultimate irony was the first time Bruce and Bob ever met was actually at the New Haven Coliseum. When Bruce came up to see the Rolling Thunder review, I think that was in 1975. So it was sort of appropriate that he played his Bruce Springsteen song in New Haven.
In New Haven.
Wow.
So you were, all right, there's a lot here to chew on, and then we're going to get to this announcement that came yesterday, and advance tickets on sale today, and we're going to try to squeeze a code out of Jimmy, all of this coming up. But let's talk about this Bob Dylan show. I didn't know he played Dancing in the Dark. Like, he had a request time?
Yeah, he started to take requests from the audience because he was running out of songs.
Right. At that point, you just try and say, okay, I'm going to go home now.
Wow. But you know what it says? It says he was having so much fun that he didn't want to leave.
Right.
Yes. Exactly
or, like,
right.
Didn't want to go home because something going on in their house.
Jimmy, didn't he ask him if he could money. Stay?
What's that? Yeah, he asked to play. He did ask to play Toads. He was rehearsing for going back on the road. He lived nearby, not in Connecticut, but in New York. And he wanted a club nearby. And his manager, who has always been a very good friend of mine, called me up and said, it was sort of like the Stones the year before, where should we play? He wants to play a quiet place where only a few hundred people are at. He wants to try out all the songs he might play in a set, and he wants to try it all at once. I said, that's going to be like a 2.5-hour show. Then he goes, it'll be 2 hours. And it ended up being 4 hours, 4 sets. Songs that he played, songs that he had never played, and he was just having such a great time.
Four hours.
He meant 2 hours at a time.
6 hours is in my mind.
Right.
It felt like six when I left.
I think you might be right. I think it went from 8 to 2. I think you're actually right. I think it went from 8 to 2.
Because I remember Sam was there, and I was with Sam, and I left. I was like, I got that thing tomorrow.
It's called life.
And I saw Sam the next day, and you know when Sam gets excited, his eyes were like giant white.
Oh, my God, huge.
White saucers.
Yeah.
It's like, Chaz, he played for over 6 hours,
I just got home.
I'm like, that. It made me feel relieved, like I made the right decision to leave. It wasn't like I left and I missed then he closed the show with Stairway to Heaven. And Robert Plant came out.
Right.
He did play all along the Watchtower.
Wow.
Right. The Jimi Hendrix came out.
He did. It wasn't easy to get him.
Well, that's got to be, when you had that call from Bob Dylan's manager, and he's talking to you about this. Clearly, he trusts you. He's like, I know who to call. I know where we're going to go. And as he's saying this, do you almost want to drop the phone? You know, you got to play it cool, like a poker game, or what's your reaction to this?
Oh, I didn't play it cool. Yeah, no, I don't play it cool. No. If you don't show excitement to these managers that you're really excited at what they're offering you, they wouldn't be happy with you. So,
well played.
Look, I like Bob Dylan's music. I don't love Bob Dylan's music. I'm not the biggest fan. I like his hits, but I never really went deep on his albums. But I pretended to be, you know, this is going to be the greatest thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
But it was only a year after the Stones happened for my birthday, so clearly it was never going to be the greatest thing that ever happened.
Right. No, that doesn't. Rolling Stones playing your 40th birthday, nah, you're not going to beat that one.
After, like, not playing for a long time together.
Yeah.
It was very special.
The Stones played 8 years together, and plus they gave me a birthday gift.
Yep.
They gave you money. That is so... Does it get better than that?
My birthday is December 10th.
That's better than, like, Van Halen coming to play your birthday party. I'm sorry.
Whatever. It's with
high school prom. It is. The Stones played my 40th birthday. They hadn't played together in 8 years. And then they gave me a check.
Unreal.
I always preferred the check for a birthday gift, no matter who gave it to me.
Yeah.
I like the check. Buy me a tie. Give me a check.
I like cash.
So this Bob Dylan meeting Bruce Springsteen at the New Haven Coliseum, was that one of your shows?
Yeah, it was my show. It was Rolling Thunder Review, Bob Dylan's Rolling Thunder Review. Joan Baez, Joni Mitchell was on the show. And
wow.
We had it in Waterbury. We had it in Hartford. We had it in Springfield. But Bob invited Bruce up to the New Haven Coliseum show. And there's actually pictures of them meeting for the first time that can be had. I think it's on Wolfgang's Vault. You can find that picture.
Bruce Bob.
Yeah, and they they're talking backstage in one of the dressing rooms.
That's wild. I want to see that picture. That's insane. Was there any moment where you had an opportunity to be in the room with both of them?
I wish I could say yes, but no. I wish I could lie and say yes, but no. I was never there. I mean, I was at the show, but I was not at their meeting.
Right. Jeez.
Yeah, really. Can you imagine?
Did you see Bruce? I mean, you must know that, like, someone must tell you, like, hey, guess who just showed up? Bruce Springsteen.
Well, yes, Bruce wasn't that big yet. I mean, Bruce just was putting out Born to Run. He was not really the biggest star in the world.
Okay. I gotcha. So it doesn't seem like this superpowers uniting meeting.
Right.
It's like, there's
an up-and-comer.
Right. Now,
and a star, yes.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now
question. Now, very different now.
It's very different now. So this show that was announced yesterday was text-worthy. I got texts from all over, folks telling me, hey, do you see what's coming to Toad's Place?
Yeah, really. Really.
Jude does.
Jude's excited, too.
Jude's very happy.
Like
Jude
on cue.
For sure.
Wow.
But we were very excited. You know, we talked about it a lot. Trying to get him into town. He had a tour built around the Guns N' Roses shows because he was opening up Guns N' Roses. And as we call him Wolfie, he ended up postponing some dates in Canada and opened up because he couldn't get into Canada and out of Canada because of COVID. He was able to add some dates in the U.S., and we were lucky enough to get one of them.
Wow.
So... Mammoth VH playing Toad's Place.
Oh, wow. That is huge.
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, I offered them Oakdale, but they wanted to play the smaller room.
How many seats does Oakdale have?
I think we'll sell somewhere around 750, 800 tickets.
750, 800. Oakdale.
Oh, Oakdale.
Yeah.
3,500 tickets.
3,500 at Oakdale, and Wolfie wanted 750, 800.
Yeah, there are three setups at Oakdale, 2,500, 3,500, and 4,500. I thought the show would be worth between 25 and 3,500 tickets, so I said, well, we won't open up the balcony, and we'll keep everybody downstairs, and we'll do 3,500. And they decided, no, they want to play it small, they want to make an impact, and who's to argue?
Right.
It tells you how he was raised. I mean, here's a kid who was raised by one of the greatest guitar players that ever lived. Game-changing guitar player.
Yeah.
This kid could start out at Oakdale. And he said, no, I want to earn it. Want to play Toad's Place.
Good. We'll let him.
Give his mother some credit also.
Yes.
I've met Valerie a number of times, who traveled with Eddie a number of times, because she had to keep an eye on Eddie.
Absolutely right.
Yes.
Absolutely right.
So we'd always know Valerie, if possible, if she wasn't filming a TV show, Valerie was on the road with Eddie. And Valerie at times acted like Eddie's watchdog. And so I met Valerie a number of times and couldn't meet a nicer person.
And Mammoth VH not playing alone.
No, there's this other band called Dirty Honey that I never had heard of, and they opened up the Black Crowes show up at Xfinity last summer. And after the show, I heard so much good stuff about Dirty Honey, and I guess they put a tour together, which was really nice, and it's a co-headline tour, and which surprises me because of Wolfgang's brand, you know, that Van Halen name. It's not Mammoth, it's Mammoth VH, so he's using his last name, and I think that it says a lot about the show itself.
That's nice.
And it, you know, when I was reading this, Jimmy, it felt as if Mammoth VH would be opening the show. It felt like it was this other band with Mammoth VH.
Well, that's what it looks like, but I don't know what the story is yet. It's too early to know who's opening. They might be switching off, which a lot of co-headliners do. They, you know, every Monday one act opens, and then Tuesday the other act opens, and they switch it off. Or if there's a favorite market, like let's say that a band is more popular in one market, they'll close the show, but if they're less popular in another market, they'll not close the show. I've had artists call me up and say, or agents actually say, who should close and who should open.
Oh, wow.
It happened with Billy Joel and Elton John, actually.
Wow.
When they played together in Connecticut, the agents called me up and said, who's bigger? Because the bigger act should close the show. And in Connecticut, with all due respect to Elton John, Billy Joel's the bigger act in Connecticut.
Yeah, no doubt.
But if you go down to other markets towards the Midwest, where Billy's not as big as Elton opened up those, and Billy opened up those shows, and Elton closed it.
Interesting. So Mammoth VH featuring Wolfgang coming to Toad's Place March 27th. Tickets on sale tomorrow, but there's a pre-sale event today.
With a secret code.
The secret code. If only we had the secret code.
How can we get the secret code? Who do we know has that?
Who would have something like that? Hmm.
Jamie Neal?
My mother always told me, just say please.
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 And all you have to do is answer. It's one word, Young Guns.
And is it case sensitive?
Nope. Although every email I get about it, it's all lowercase. But I do not believe it's case sensitive. But I can tell you, though, every email I get is lowercase.
So let's
one
go,
word, lowercase.
Let's go with the lowercase. How much are these tickets?
Well, that's something that's surprising also. They're only $35.
Nice.
This is nuts. Well, he doesn't need the money.
No.
Yeah.
You know what? Even though you don't need the money,
you can
you
get
still
it.
Want the money.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I have it?
Because part of it is you can pay your crew more. I mean, I'm guessing the more you get paid, the more you could pay your crew.
Right. And you know, the richest people still want to make money. The richest people still work to make money. And, it's rare when somebody does this. It's really very customer-friendly, fan-friendly what he does. $35. You can't beat that.
I agree. Everything about this kid, you know, interviewing him or hearing about how he's maneuvering himself through this career and after the death of his father, very public death that he had to share with the world. There's nothing in here that makes you think
he's a class act.
Yeah, he's totally a class act.
Yes,
100%.
Yep.
So
I wonder if he's going to continue to be a bass player. He is the son of the greatest guitarist, lead guitarist of his generation, and he played bass because he was in Van Halen and his dad was the lead guitarist. How could he play lead?
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm very interested to see in Mammoth, does he continue as a bass player or does he turn into a lead guitarist? I don't know the answer to that. And secondarily, he's got a really good voice. And his background vocals were really strong in Van Halen. Is he the lead singer? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I hope so. And I, you know, we talked to him about playing Van Halen music, and he's like, no, not going to happen. And I hope that it's like the Beatles when they broke up. You know, Paul didn't play the Beatles for a while to establish himself, but I hope once Wolfie's established, he embraces that.
I do too. I don't agree with people who feel differently. I think carrying the mantle is something very important and people want to see, and people should be proud of it. You know, the most famous one was John Fogerty wouldn't play Creedence Clearwater music for so long.
Right.
And as soon as he started to sell a lot more tickets, I could tell you that.
Yep. He said, oh, it's Clearwater to me.
The last time Van Halen played in Connecticut, it was Hartford at the Xfinity, and it was, thanks to you, Jimmy, a Chaz and AJ present Van Halen. And I am going bananas trying to find a copy of that ticket now because I want to make something for the house because it really is a special thing to have.
I may have it somewhere in my house.
Yeah, I'm not counting on that.
Thank you.
Jimmy, do you know how... I've seen some Zoom background of your house.
Yes.
If it's in your house, you're not finding it.
No.
Jimmy, is there a way to get something like that? Like your archivist?
I will look for it, yes. I will see if we have it.
You're the man. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation Concert God is on. There was a big announcement yesterday. Mammoth VH featuring Wolfgang Van Halen coming to Toad's Place March 27th. Tickets on sale tomorrow, but there's a pre-sale today. And if you use the code, and Jimmy was nice enough to give it to us, Young Guns, one word. We don't know if it's case sensitive, but go with the lowercase.
Yeah, go with that.
People want to make sure that there are two G's, so Young and then Guns.
Mm.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Nice.
Yes.
Yes.
That is true. I'm sure there's two G's.
Yeah. So it'd be the G on the end of Young and the G at the beginning of Guns. No space. Somehow we'll screw that up.
Yeah, somehow we will.
Right. No. If we're wrong, we're going to hear it, that's for sure.
Loudly and abundantly.
Yeah. So that's very exciting. And then there is other Van Halen-related type news.
Yes, the one lead singer that hasn't retired, Sammy Hagar, I have been asked over and over again to get him back into Connecticut, and we have finally done it. And we will announce it in a couple of weeks. We'll announce it, and it will be down at the Harvard Healthcare Amphitheater.
Listen to Jude. It's so excited with today's news.
Yeah.
Yes. So that'll be Jude's excited. She's going to buy tickets as soon as it goes on sale.
She's trying to tell us.
Right.
We just can't. What is it, Jude?
Right.
She's telling me Amazon is here.
Oh.
Amazon is everywhere, so it's here also.
Built-in security system.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. This was, I was blown away by this news as well, because every time we went to the phones for you, this name always came up. And then not only is it this name, but there's another big name on this bill.
That is true. I won't get into yet because I'm not supposed to announce this tour. The show won't be going on sale for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Won't be announced for a week. But, yes, there's another artist, another guy on the show that is probably close to equally as strong as Sammy. It's going to be a great show, and it'll be at the Harvard Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport.
On a weekend night, a Friday night, right?
Yes, on a Friday night.
Awesome.
Correct.
Which is, you know.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Well, we did it. Make sure you guys can
you actually go.
That's all. It's all about you guys. You know that. Yeah.
Thank you.
We go to bed early.
Yep. Yeah. Not that night.
Not that night. Yeah. So very exciting. Very exciting. And then Michael Lang, a co-creator of Woodstock. Would you call him a creator? Co-producer?
Well, he was a co-promoter, co-producer of 1969's Woodstock. And then I worked with him in 1994. On Woodstock 94, so I got to know him pretty well. I met with him once a week because we once a week decided who would be on the show. We had a list of names of everybody who wanted to be on the show. The vote was always 3 out of 4 had to say yes in order to get the show. It was a guy named Jeff Rowland, John Scher, Michael Lang, and myself. The four of us were the deciders of who got on Woodstock 94.
That's like the Justice League.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
Like all the heavy hitters, you know?
Yes, I was involved on the talent side. I give Michael and John Scher more credit than I should get for doing Woodstock 94. They did the operational side also. I was more on the talent side than anything else. And we had a lot of good times together, a lot of good talks, a lot of good meals together, a lot of fun talking about all the different artists we wanted and didn't want. We approached some. We had some great acts, you know, if you look at the schedule of who played on Woodstock 94. I mean, it closed with Aerosmith and Metallica. How much better can you get than that?
Yeah.
Right?
Nuts.
So, I mean, it was just really special. And as we played on the show previously, I got to introduce Traffic, which was a personal favorite of mine. So it really was a great time. It went off great. It ran well, Woodstock 94. And we all celebrated afterwards. We pulled it off.
Do you think that his Woodstock in 69, was that a lot of luck? That it
went
so well.
It was a ton of luck. You know, he'll admit that he had no idea what was going on. He found the site 2 weeks before the show actually happened.
Wow, my God!
So he barely could prepare the site, and he didn't make money on it. But Warner Brothers bought the rights to the movie, and then they made a lot of money from the movie. So, ironically, the concert didn't make money, but the movie made a lot of money. So they did very well by it.
Cool, came from somewhere.
And I always called Michael the original hippie. He was, you know, into peace, love, and happiness, and wasn't into making money, which I'm a blend. And every once in a while, I am a hippie, but I'm a capitalist hippie.
Exactly right.
And so every once in a while, we would get into these heated discussions. Great idea, Michael, but it's going to cost us $100,000 for this idea. We can't do that idea. Well, I really think it would be cool. It would be hip. It's all about the earth. It's all about this, all about that. And I go, yeah, I'm into all that stuff, but I'm not spending a lot of money on it.
Mm. You go tell the boss. I'll be over here.
Yeah.
Well, it was good because the people that backed the show were into making money, so I usually won the argument.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for coming on.